and they have the occasional kind of cult movie or, you know, ska band play there. It's good times.
It's kind of like the Majestic.
It's basically a movie palace.
Right. Understood. Where is it located? Is it on the main drag?
It's on probably what you would call the secondary main drag.
Like a block off?
It's where the kind of good Thai food place is.
But like there's the main street.
The main street is not where it is. There's sort of like there's a main street, and then there's another street that's pretty main.
Uh-huh.
That's the one it's on.
But is it like a block off, or is it like a perpendicular? Is it parallel?
It's a perpendicular type situation, but it's sort of in a different part of Santa Cruz.
Oh really?
Yeah. But it's a serious thing.
Is it closer to the boardwalk per se?
A little bit farther away from the boardwalk. So, but rest assured, it is a part of town with a lot of indie cred.
That's good.
So,
basically, it's the Sonic Youth of Santa Cruz.
Oh, excellent. Well, there you go. Well, I always felt like that we were the Sonic Youth of Santa Cruz.
What are you talking about?
We're talking about the theater.
Oh.
And, like, where it is in Santa Cruz. I'm trying to get, a feel for that. Because
mm-hmm.
having, you know, been to Santa Cruz a few times, I like to know where the movie's playing. It helps me sort of, like...
Right. Feel centered.
Yeah, exactly.
So
when it's playing in a town I've never been to, I feel very lonely about everything.
So right now we are talking to AJ, a guy who directed a movie about They Might Be Giants, and John, a guy who was in They Might Be Giants.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the Sound of Young America, gang.
Thanks. Great to be on the Sound of Young America.
So this is what it sounds like.
Yes, this is exactly what it sounds
Excellent.
Like.
Actually, this is a trick. It's more like a subtle buzzing. Like a couple different sizes of bees.
It's a good thing because when my mom criticizes the youth of America, I can say, well, that's not what it sounds like.
We're actually very nice boys and we're well groomed. So we're talking to you kind of under some odd circumstances, I'm told. Now, you guys have gone on vacation together?
Well, I have a... this is John Flanter from They Might Be Giants here. I have a house in the Catskill Mountains that is actually my primary residence, actually, according to my taxes, but it's a beautiful place to kind of get away from New York City. It's just a couple of hours north, and AJ was in New York this weekend when the film Gigantic opened, and so we all just kind of came here afterwards. So we're just relaxing in the.
You figured you could kind of go hang out, see any young men.
Yeah, I do like the idea though that we're somewhat like in Aruba. Or something. So we jetted off.
It's like the publicist told me, he's like, oh, AJ and John are vacationing together.
Right.
Well, it is. I mean, it is a very beautiful place. I mean, it is, but it is, you know, we're essentially in the vortex of the Borscht Belt here. You know, when people talk about the Catskills, you know, I think Dirty Dancing was filmed about 20 minutes from here.
So you're ducking mother-in-law jokes left and right then.
Exactly.
Transformed from.
But as anybody who's ever actually been here will tell you, it's a beautiful, beautiful part of the world.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
No longer rock and roll stars, now a spritzer.
Yes, exactly.
So AJ, you made this documentary about They Might Be Giants.
Right.
And now you're hanging out with them casually. It's just kind of a fanboy's dream come true.
Well, I was actually hanging out with them casually before I made the film.
Oh,
so
wow.
The film really could have actually ended all of the casual hanging if it had gone badly. It could have been, from that point, nothing but stilted conversations and awkward glances.
Why did you say that?
I heard that after a brief history of time, there was
but,
that whole...
You know, we've crossed through the vortex of it, and we're all doing
You're
okay.
Better pals because of it.
Yeah, well, you know.
We were good pals before. AJ was a rock video producer and was my producer when I was directing rock videos pretty actively about 5 years ago. So we had kind of a unique relationship before the movie was made. Although that said, I don't think anything really set me up for the way the gigantic film would end up getting put together because John and I didn't really have any editorial input in the way the film was made. I mean, AJ was very clear about what his intentions were, and it was very open. And I mean, there wasn't anything funny business on that front. But at the same time, it really was his film, not ours, and so it was kind of his personal project.
Now, what's happened with this film since we last talked? We last talked kind of when it was just starting to get into film festivals and stuff.
Right.
What's going on with Gigantic now?
It's huge.
It's so huge. Well, we just had our, you know, we just had our theatrical premiere, which is the hope and dream of every young independent filmmaker, is that the film will actually get picked up by a reputable distributor and will be made available to theaters across the country. And so we just opened it in New York City, finally, and had a very excellent opening party with a great concert where the They Might Be Giants were joined on stage by Frank Black and Gordon Gano of the Violent Femmes and Miss Sid Straw from the movie and a bunch of really excellent people. And so the president of Brooklyn proclaimed it They Might Be Giants Day, which was really great. So there was this past weekend has been like nothing but party and excitement of the opening. And Santa Cruz is actually it's one of the first places where it's going to be screened after the New York opening, where people actually get to see it on film. All the film festival screenings were like a video that it was projected from digital video, but we've since transferred to film, and it looks really, really great, and the sound's amazing. So it should be a real treat for everyone who heads out to the Rio on the 1st.
I saw actually, I was just reading Entertainment Weekly, and I saw Gigantic reviewed, and it kind of next to Bruce Almighty.
Right.
And
I think the film holds up really well to Bruce Almighty.
It sure does, yeah.
It's true. But Bruce Almighty did teach us that the greatest miracle of all is when a child rejects drugs and chooses an education.
Right.
Does Gigantic...
Well, I didn't know. You know, I have to say I've missed every other film that opened.
An actual line from the movie.
On the same
really?
Day.
Yes.
Did Yeah, I don't know. I'm still angry about The Majestic, so...
Right.
So you and Jim Carrey are kind of on shaky ground then.
Yeah, we're still feuding.
So you guys...
I think they should just give that guy his own, like, special Oscar so he'll stop trying to make movies like Oscar contenders. And it's just like, okay, we understand you have the desire, but it's just like, nobody wants him to do that.
What if we just gave him his own spot on TNN? Where he gets an hour a day live to just gross out everybody and be loud as he wants.
I think, you know, if he wanted to, you know, resurrect that Vern character or whatever, you know, he would have done it already.
I think
he's
that's
by the tail.
I think that's Ernest you're thinking of.
My question is this, like, you guys have interviewed us twice now.
Yes.
But you haven't seen the film.
I have seen the film. I actually went down to L.A. to see it.
You saw it at the Cinematheque.
Being a fanboy.
That's
and all.
Right. I do remember that you were at that fine screening at the Cinematheque. That was a really fun night.
That was really fun. Have you gotten? I mean, I remember the night I saw it. It was just great. People were laughing and dancing around. Have you gotten similar reactions?
The New York show. I mean, I did. This is Flansburg here. We did. John and I did Q&A at the Cinema Village, and it was definitely very spirited. You know, I can't imagine what, you know, I mean, the Cinema Village is where I saw, you know, not Under a Cherry Moon, I saw A Sign of the Times with two other people in the theater. So, you know, I can't really say it's, you know, every screening is going to be like a party. But it definitely has been, you know, pretty exciting just seeing the response. You know, and the thing about Gigantic that's very satisfying for me and John, as just, you know, as people who are, you know, non, you know, we're subjects, but we were not, like, you know, we didn't put it together. It's that it's a very entertaining movie. You know, it's very good for people who are unfamiliar with They Might Be Giants as a band, because it introduces you to the band in a very easy breezy way, and there's enough going on in terms of commentary that it's actually, you know, it's really funny. You know, it's just simply a funny movie, and it really keeps the ball rolling. So, you know, it's a great way for people to find out about the band, and if you already know about the band and are into it, then it's just like it's really delightful.
Yeah, and just to like to plug for anyone who's listening who isn't familiar with the band, there's also a lot of really great people in it, like Conan O'Brien and John Stewart and Janine Garofalo and Harry Shearer and Michael McKean and some folks from NPR, Ira Glass and Sarah Vowell. So, like, there's a lot of really fun folks who make appearances and contribute to what Time Magazine, what the New York Times calls a visual scrapbook.
Are you holding the review from the Times?
No. That's my favorite part of the Times.
It's tattooed across his back. He holds it in his heart.
Scrapbook. Because I think that was in my initial proposal.
A visual scrapbook?
Yeah.
So how did you get all these kind of famous people to come do this? How do you go about approaching Conan O'Brien and saying, you know, do you want to talk about They Might Be Giants on this movie?
I think that they were just, you know, I mean, like, you know, people, a lot of the folks who are in it are actual fans. I mean, I think everyone who's in it is actually a fan or has been around, you know, long enough to have, you know, for They Might Be Giants to have, you know,
right,
been a part of the soundtrack of their life. And
right,
I think that what's great about it is that it's, you know, all the people just really were enthusiastic about being part of the project and kind of, you know, even if they didn't necessarily understand the entirety of what we were going to try to do, like, everyone was really enthusiastic about, you know, blindly participating, which was, you know, like, all the people, like, we have Janine and Harry Shearer and Michael McKean and Andy Richter all do these, like, lyric interpretations, which, you know, I'm not even sure that they even all understood what I wanted to get out of them, but they were really, you know, like, enthusiastic about doing them.
We're talking to A.J. Schnock, a director of a film called Gigantic about They Might Be Giants, and we're also talking to John Flansburgh, a member of said band. Now, John, what is They Might Be Giants up to these days?
Well, we actually just finished up a book for Simon & Schuster. It's a children's book called Bed, Bed, Bed that will be out in October. It's illustrated by one of the people who's contributed to McSweeney's literary journal a bunch, this guy Marcel Zama, D-Z-A-M-A. He's a Canadian fine artist, but we brought him in to illustrate these songs. And so this book, it's basically a book and a CD, and it's a bedtime book, so it's all lullabies. It's basically designed to help parents kind of get their kids into bed. And it's a very sweet kind of magical package, you know. It's we're very happy with the way it's coming out because it just seems very complete, and it reminds us of like a lot of things that are kind of absent in the culture these days, you know. Like it's vaguely reminiscent of like early Maurice Sendak stuff. It's very elegantly drawn, and it's very pretty. So we've been working on the songs for that for the last couple of months, and also, you know, working closely with the illustration and the design of the book. So that'll be out momentarily. And, you know, we've been doing a lot of different kinds of shows. We actually just did a couple of McSweeney shows on the West Coast and kind of did a run up the West Coast doing stands. So we've been out and about as well as, you know, keeping, you know, the sort of recorded stuff going. So there's all sorts of stuff going on.
Now, I saw one of these McSweeney shows, and what you do is there's authors that read, and you guys kind of play along with their stories. Are there any authors, maybe authors that have since passed, that you'd like to jam with?
I would like to jam with Ezra Pound, but I don't know. I don't know if he's available these days.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very crazy idea for a show, the McSweeney show. I mean, it's really a testament to Dave Eggers' ability to kind of think outside of the regular conventions of what, like, a reading is or what a rock show is, because I can't imagine it happening without him. I mean, he organizes it. He makes it seem, like, very possible, and sort of every time we're talking about these kinds of things where it doesn't involve him, all of a sudden it seems very impossible. So, you know, it's a very psychedelic kind of show, and yet it's very entertaining and successful. I really like the way did you see the Stanford show or the UCLA show?
I saw the Stanford show.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's a kind of a great little thing, and I wish we could do more of them. It's sort of an unreasonable amount of people to get on stage at the same time, but they've done really well. You know, I think a lot of people, there are a lot of like-minded people involved in it, and it just kind of comes off that way. So I don't know, it's fun sharing the stage with Eggers and Sarah Vowell, and you know, on this last run we had Zadie Smith from the UK. That was really cool.
She added a nice element of Britishness to it.
She certainly did. And, you know, she wrote a story that was based on a song we wrote for the McSweeney's thing. And you know, it's actually a really interesting story and very well written, and she did a great job with it. So I think we'll always feel like, you know, strangely flattered that, you know, that there's this great Sadie Smith story in the world that's related to They Might Be Giants. So it's a very unlikely combination.
I think that the whole Sadie Smith thing, like you were saying, it adds a Britishness. To me, it makes the whole thing kind of a coalition of the willing to be entertained.
Yeah, we're willing to rock.
That's it.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to be entertained, head out to the Rio Theater.
Good times.
AJ, you've like put on your like total like schmooze coat here. You're like, you got the...
I got to pimp this movie.
You got, yeah, you're really representing for
That's
Gigantic.
Good times. What about a new rock and roll record, They Might Be Giants? Is it coming anytime soon?
You know, it's we were hoping to get it out this fall, but we've actually had so many different things going on that we've been kind of held up out of the studio. We've been trying to work with Adam Schlesinger from Fountains of Wayne on collaborating on on some recordings together. And you know, we have a nice stack of songs. Having done a bunch of children's stuff, we're all ready to get back into swearing and the bad vibes of adult rock music.
Good times.
You know, we're just trying to, you know, find the time to do it. It's been a very crazy, the last 2 years for us has been kind of nuts. I mean, we pretty much around the time that AJ started filming the movie, all sorts of different stuff started happening for us. I mean, shortly after the movie wrapped up, we won a Grammy, and all of a sudden, like, there were all these unusual film and TV opportunities available to us, and you know, it's kind of fun to take advantage of that stuff. So.
All right, AJ and John, I have a suggestion.
Yes.
You've done the They Might Be Giants documentary.
Yes.
What about the They Might Be Giants Hard Day's Night kind of rock and roll adventure movie?
Oh, that's a fun idea. Well, you know, maybe for the DVD.
Have you thrown that around at all? They Might Be Giants, you know, trapped in a small Midwestern town, or
I don't know. Did you ever see The Kid Stays in the Picture, that documentary?
Yes,
about Robert Evans. Uh-huh. And it's all done, I think it's done like in After Effects, where like the pictures are kind of lurching out at you.
Yeah.
I was hoping that we could, you know, do something like that. You know,
I was thinking of maybe a Broadway thing around Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
I love Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Yeah, if I could get maybe Dick Van Dyke to come in and do some song and dance, that would be really great.
In a British accent.
Yeah, that would be great.
You know, there's nothing like Dick Van Dyke's British accent.
Yeah.
Have there been any weird ideas like that? We should do a They Might Be Giants musical or a cartoon or something that you guys have turned down just because it's too implausible?
Well, you know, a few years back we were actually asked to do the theme for a little sitcom called Friends. And we turned it down. Actually, one of the main reasons that we didn't turn down Malcolm in the Middle was because we turned down Friends. And I still, to this day, I can't say that I'm exactly sure whether that was a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, they sent us a tape of the pilot for Friends, and it had like an REM song at the beginning of it. And I think it was actually more that they had an REM song already slated in the beginning of it, and they were saying, you know, something like that, you know, you guys, REM.
Like a little wackier, but...
Yeah, I mean, we just actually... I think we've become a little bit more thick-skinned about that kind of stuff, but at the time it sort of... You know, I mean, obviously, in the general universe of music, you know, we are in the, you know, small little filing cabinet, you know, marked bands like REM to a lot of people. I mean, in the broadest Hollywood sense of, you know, what rock is about, you know, it's like that's our generation, that's our world. But to us, you know, just as individuals who are, you know, perfectly touchy about what we do, we were just like, hey man, you know, leave that REM thing out of here, you know. So we didn't do it, and you know, I sort of regret it, but I'm sort of half fine that we didn't.
I think the whole Friends thing is, I mean, the Malcolm, you know, you could still do your you know, like Life is Unfair, and you're not the. I mean, that still has like, you know, the typical vibe of
Damon. Yeah,
it's not that whole bull crap. Sorry, I almost said the the other word. But this is taped, so you could have gotten rid of that.
And
whole, like, you know, I'll be there for you.
And added a wacky sound effect.
I guess so.
Too.
I don't know. I think, you know, I don't know what kind of song we could have written for friends. You know, it might have been fine.
You're
you know?
My friend for now. I'll see you.
Right. I guess the thing is, like, the even the title Friends had this weird, vaguely already been chewed
right.
quality to it that just seemed, you know. And when we saw it, I had just become aware of the Seinfeld show, and it just seemed like this very transparent copy of Seinfeld, but with a more youthful cast. Which
right.
The combination of those two things seemed a little underwhelming to me. But I don't know. I mean, obviously, if we had done it, it probably would have made our lives that much sweeter.
You could have done like the theme song that was basically like, we live in the only neighborhood in New York where there's only white people.
Is that
that would have been like a good theme song for Friends.
Is Friends based in New York?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
But that's why they have such big apartments.
That's right. Huge apartments. All white people.
I never made that connection.
Oh yeah.
I assumed it was like San Francisco or some other fantastical place.
Yeah, they love the New York City.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
They have good times, though, I feel like.
As seen on the back lot in Studio City.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know, just getting back to the theme thing. Yeah, you know, we love doing the themes. And I hope nobody from any television company is listening to this interview right now. I think I just talked myself out of every job I could possibly get.
We have a lot of industry people that listen to our show.
Right.
So.
Right.
We'll edit that out to make you guys sound
please.
More hireable.
Please.
We'll have our people call you because we've been looking for a theme as alienating as our program.
Uh-huh.
And we figure something about how life is unfair might work.
Right. We're totally open for that.
Indeed. So, AJ, you've been plugging away.
Right.
Any last kind of frantic berserker rage to get folks to come see Gigantic, other than our endorsement that it's a great film, but
yeah, no, I mean, people should just they should go check it out. It's a really entertaining hour and a half, and there's lots of laughs, and the music's really fun, and I think they'll, you know, especially anyone who's into being an artist of any stripe. I think, you know, it definitely plays well in a place like Santa Cruz, where you know people take being an artist fairly seriously. I think that the idea of staking out a very original and independent career is something that people should check out. I think it's definitely inspirational to people who are just doing their own thing, and that's kind of what the Giants are about in a lot of ways, and what makes them so fun and interesting to take a look at. It's just that they're, we're always bitching and moaning about the fact that people are cookie cutter, and here's a band that has for 20 plus years done their own thing and have been and able to be very successful at it and have this really unique relationship. So it's a good chance to check something like that out.
Yeah, I know I'm not following logical kind of interview progression here, but what are you up to next, AJ?
Like this weekend, or
this weekend, what do you plan to have for dinner, or
right.
Well, are there any other films you're working on?
Most importantly, is we're about to enter into the vortex of making the DVD for this film. So, I'm actually going to start working on that soon. But I have a script that I've written, and hopefully we'll be getting some investors to invest in, and then hopefully we'll make a movie like that. So.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, guys. We've been talking with A.J. Schnack and John Flansburgh of They Might Be Giants. A.J., the director of the film Gigantic, a film about They Might Be Giants, which is going to be playing at the Rio Theater this Sunday. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, thank you, guys.